This is Rick Gentry, and I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today Pastor Richard Adarosa, and he's from Florida. We're excited about his message today. Here's Pastor Richard.
Hello, this is Richard Adarosa, and welcome to today's message. I'm a senior pastor at Church of the Harvest in Pahokee, Florida, along the beautiful Lake Okeechobee, and we really look forward in being able to minister to you today. So if you have your Bibles, you can start by turning them, if you would, to the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that your word is life to those who find it. It's health and healing to all of our flesh. Lord, we give you thanks for every hearer today who will hear the word and be a doer of it, that they'll be blessed in their deed in the name of Jesus. So let's get to the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, and we can start our message today on Jesus. I just want to share about Jesus today. And, you know, if we would just lift up Jesus, he would draw all men unto himself. In the early church, the scriptures and the whole Bible in the New Testament hadn't been written yet. And if you're like me, you've always thought about, well, what do these people preach about back then? Well, I'm sure that they would teach and preach on the Old Testament parchments that had to do with the foretelling of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe a lot of it just had to do also with testimonies of the things that they saw and witnessed, and especially the apostles, because the apostles were Jesus' inside team. And so Jesus invested so much into them, just like as a disciple of Jesus today, we have so much invested in us through the Word and by the precious Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. But this verse, Acts chapter 5 and verse 42 says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Now, of course, when we see that word Christ there, we need to remember that that word Christ refers to Jesus, the anointed Messiah. And so preaching that Jesus was the anointed one, that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus is the one that all of the Old Testament prophecies had pointed to, where Jesus is expressed in every book of the Bible in the Old Testament as a type and a shadow of the things that were to come. In the very mind of God from the very beginning, before time began, Jesus was in with the Father and in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And he spoke life into existence, and so the worlds were formed. And so the revelation of Jesus was now coming through the apostles who now have been born again and filled with the Holy Spirit and anointed. And so the teaching and the preaching didn't just take place at the temple, but in every house they did not cease. They just kept teaching and preaching Jesus. You know, a lot of times, a lot of churches, they're always teaching and preaching something. And it's good to preach about marriage, and it's good to preach about families, and it's good to preach about healing, and it's good to preach about the second coming of Christ. And these are all important things that doctrinally we need to understand. But the thing that brings life to us and the thing that brings the sinner to the Savior is the preaching of Jesus. You know, I think sometimes that one of the reasons that a lot of our churches don't grow is because we forgot to preach Jesus. And you know, we have to have a ministry of preaching Jesus to everybody. Not everybody's going to come to your church, and not everybody's going to come to your home. But a lot of people will come when they hear Jesus preached. Look at the book of Acts then. Turn back just a little bit to the book of Acts chapter 1. And verse 3, and let's look at this a little bit differently today. And of course, in the beginning here, this book, the book of Acts, was written by Luke. And he starts out by saying, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know, there's a really awesome thing about this scripture talking about how Jesus showed himself through many infallible proofs. And I had to look up that word infallible because it's a big word. But basically, infallible means indisputable. It means convincing proof. It means proof that's incapable of error or mistake. In other words, you couldn't say, well, that was somebody that looked like Jesus that we saw. You couldn't say, well, I don't really know. He even sounded like the Jesus we knew. But they were infallible proofs. And even though this is written to us in the context of Jesus appearing to his disciples, it also can be considered to apply to us today, where Jesus desires to manifest himself through the believer with infallible proofs. Now, we all know that Jesus said that these signs would follow those that believe, and he talked about how in the name of Jesus we could cast out devils and lay hands on the sick and they would recover. And these infallible proofs, if you'll let me call them that, are the proofs that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is truly the Savior. Muhammad and Buddha and all these other people that were great men did not have infallible proofs. They're still not demonstrating their being alive today. They've used religion and traditions of men to entice people to come. But the ministry that you and I are part of, the ministry of Jesus, is a ministry, folks, of infallible proofs. Infallible proofs demonstrating that Jesus is alive. The scripture says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I believe he is. And he's going about doing good, just as he did back then, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, we can say that about ourselves today. We preached on that a few weeks back, that we also are called to go about and do good, so that Jesus and his precious Holy Spirit can go about doing the same things that Jesus did. When Jesus walked the earth, he didn't walk the earth as God demonstrating how awesome he was, although he was God. But Jesus demonstrated what he can do through the body of man, and he did some pretty amazing things. Jesus walked his place on the earth when he was here as God, but as man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus did not perform miracles until he was anointed by the Spirit, when it says the Spirit came on him like a dove. And there's some really good teaching about how it's important and how sensitive we have to be to keep the dove on our shoulders. And you should listen to some of the work that's being done by some of the folks in the ministry, and you have some great revelation about it. And I would suggest that you learn about that and read it and study it for yourself. Bill Johnson being the guy that is a good go-to on that. And so there are these many infallible proofs. And then if you were to look at the book of John, chapter 12, just go back a little bit and look at the Gospel of John and chapter 12. And I'd like to share with you a little bit of scripture, and I'd like to take it in context and perhaps take it a little bit out of context so that you can see this. Now, Jesus is in a place now where he's about to be lifted up concerning the cross as our sin substitute And it begins in verse 23 of the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified," talking about himself. "Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." And so he's explaining to us here how his death will enable many, many people, multitudes of people, to have a relationship with the Father. It says, "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. For where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. My soul is now troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Speaking of glorifying his name again at the time of the resurrection, when he shall obtain a name greater than any name, the name of Jesus. Therefore the people that stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out," purchasing back the freedom that we had lost through the fall of man, through Adam's sin, and continued generationally through the seed of Adam. "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. But I want you to look at that verse 32, perhaps a little carefully, where he said, "And I, if I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Now, certainly here he's referring to the death on the cross, where he'll be lifted up on the tree and experience the most horrific death, an embarrassing and shameful death that could ever be experienced. And I think perhaps partly that's the reason why it was done at this time, so that there could be no cause of accusation that he didn't suffer a tremendous penalty. But I believe there's a context here that we need to consider, and that is, "And if I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself." The concept there of lifting up. You know, we've heard this many times. I'm sure many of you have heard this, that if we lift up Jesus, he'll draw people. Well, you know, there is something about that that is truthful. You know, a lot of people will preach about Jesus a little bit and they'll kind of dance around it. But preaching Jesus is preaching the gospel. I know Brother Hagin used to say, well, if you're not seeing signs and wonders, then maybe you're not preaching the gospel, because the gospel said, Jesus said, if we preach the gospel, that signs and wonders would follow. Now, I know a lot of believers chase after the signs and wonders. They go to meetings where things are going on, and that's wonderful, because we all have in our heart a desire to be involved in the things of the Spirit. But rather than chasing after the signs and wonders, and I'm sure with the taking a chance of just kind of being a little cliche here, the signs and wonders should be following you and I as the believers. You see, I believe that if we will lift Jesus up, that many salvations can occur, but we've got to lift him up, not man, not some doctrine. You know, a lot of people work very hard to come up with things that are really, really funny and really interesting sounding, and forgetting many times the important part of the gospel. You know, the preacher in your church, the pastor, or whoever is coming as a minister or a guest minister, is not there to make you feel good about yourself. He's there to preach the word of God. And the Word of God can make you feel good, but it can also bring conviction. And that conviction and the purpose of that conviction, the work of the Holy Spirit, is to lead you and bring you and draw you to Jesus. You see, Jesus is all in all. That's why Paul said that I don't need to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, Paul was a man of great knowledge of salvation. I mean, God revealed to Paul through the Old Testament scriptures and by revelation some tremendous truths about God and the plan that God gave for us. You know, the epistles really are God's love letters to the church. It's an explanation of who He is and what He's done and how much He loves us. It's important as believers that we keep the correct context for everything. Some people say, well, I just get turned off because it doesn't make sense. The gospel doesn't make sense. Well, the Bible says that it's got to not make sense to the carnal mind. The Bible says that the carnal mind itself is an enmity with God, per the King James Version. But the version that I understand is that the carnal mind is an enemy of God. Your unrenewed mind, or a mind that is unrenewed, can't understand the things of God because it's not renewed to thinking like God. You know, when we get born again, we're born again. Our spirit is made alive unto God. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. But this thing sitting on top of our shoulders, our head, you know, God didn't unzip our heads and pour our brains out. We have to have our minds renewed through the Word of God. That's why we need time in fellowship with Him. That's why we need time to read the Bible. That's the reason why we need to fellowship with other believers. That's why that they preached in the synagogues and then from house to house. Because the fellowship continued outside the four walls of the synagogue. The synagogue was basically like the church back then. That's where they met. That's where they were used to going for their ceremonies. Their weekly services were in the synagogue. Even Jesus went to the synagogues. Paul started in the synagogues. And then after a while, when the religious spirits got wind of what was going on there, many times Paul got the left foot of fellowship and ended up being going outside to other places, to neutral places, sometimes places that religious people won't go, but people hungry for God will go. Hallelujah. So as we see here, lifting up Jesus is the key. You know, when you're around a group of people, you can talk about God, you can talk about religion, you can even talk about salvation. But the minute you mention that name Jesus, a lot of people get very nervous. Do you ever notice you don't hear much about Jesus on the television? You hear a lot about God, but not a lot about Jesus. Because people know there's a God. Many people know that. Now, some will admit they don't know, but in reality, they know there is a God. Because God is creator of everybody. We were created in God's image and likeness. We came from the Father of spirits as a spirit. So at one point, we knew God. But a lot of times, people's minds will get seared. Sin will begin to rise up, and they'll begin to turn from God. And their consciences, as they've been seared, go from God. But when we are born again, we're reconciled unto God. That's why the Bible says that we're adopted. We were adopted into the family of God. Because to be adopted, it meant that you had to come once from some family. You were born and then you were adopted because you changed families. And the family that I belong to is the family of God. The family where Jesus is Lord. Amen. And you know what? You have to get used to saying that name. A lot of Christians don't like to say that name in public. But that name is above every name. That name has power in it. All the power of heaven is invested in the name of Jesus. And it's that name and faith in that name that made that man at the gate called Beautiful whole. And it's his name and faith in that name that will make you whole. and will make the people that you pray for whole. Because you don't have silver and gold. But what you do have is Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember, preach Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no experiencing the power of God without Jesus. And so I want to share that with you. Let's now go to the book of Acts, chapter 8. My favorite scriptures in the Bible are here. And it's talking about Philip. And Philip is not referred to as an evangelist in the book of Acts, chapter 8. But he is referred to an evangelist later on in the book. And understand that the evangelist ministry is not just because he or she has a gift for soul winning, but because they also have a gift for helping to equip the saints to go about winning souls. That's the other part of it. That's what the ministry gift is. We're all called to be soul winners. The evangelist is called to equip people to be soul winners. And so the New Testament evangelist, we see specifically from the book of Acts chapter 8 as we talk about Philip. Acts 8 verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death, talking about Stephen. And at that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And it says that devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Now, Stephen was one of the deacons, just as Philip was one of the deacons. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Now, Paul's a pretty zealous guy. But you know, some of the people that are the most powerful and dedicated when they convert to Jesus and convert to Christianity are the people that used to just create such problems in the past. There's nothing like taking somebody who is just so strong, and you think about Peter and how strong and how strong-minded he was, and he took that and he used it for God. Thank God that you have a personality that God works through. It says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Well, God told them to do that in the book of Acts, right? That they were to go into all the world, in the book of Mark, rather, and they were to go into all the world, but they hadn't done it yet. They were sticking around Jerusalem, learning and getting fed and developing in the things of God. And when the persecution came and they were scattered abroad, that's when they started to do the works of Jesus. Now, they went about preaching everywhere. But we see here Philip, and he's the guy we're going to focus on. And it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, it doesn't say he preached Jesus unto them, but I believe it's implied because it is Jesus Christ. And so when the word Christ is put before Jesus, it's emphasizing his deity. When Jesus is used before Christ, it's emphasizing his humanity. And so here, he preached Christ to them. So yes, he preached Jesus, but he also preached about Christ, which is the anointed one and his anointing. So he's not just preaching Jesus, but he's telling them that Jesus was anointed and that he was anointed. And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Would you agree with me today that those miracles were infallible proofs that Jesus is still alive? Hallelujah. The world needs to see that, folks. The world needs to see more than you're just going to church and coming out and getting mad at everybody who pulls out in front of you in the church parking lot. They want to see the real. They want to see something genuine. And that's what we've got to show them. And it's these infallible proofs that Jesus is alive, living in us, his presence on us, that's going to have a great impact in the world. And then it talks about the kind of miracles that took place. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And then, of course, you can read about Simon the sorcerer. But understand this, folks. Whenever there's a move of God, the devil immediately comes to bring the counterfeit. And this was what Simon the sorcerer was about to do. He was going to try to make himself spiritual. And he was going to try to buy the gift. And Peter said, oh, your money perish with you. You don't get this free gift for the purpose of just going about and using it and merchandising the anointing. Let me stop there for just a minute and say this. There's a lot of preachers that merchandise the anointing. And God forgive you if that's something you're doing. If you're doing that, you need to repent and turn back to God. He'll forgive you. He'll restore you. Because God knows the motive of your heart. And he desires the pure motive of our hearts to be serving him. And our ministry is to be out of the outflow of our personal relationship and intimate fellowship with him. And so we see here that as Philip preached Jesus, you say, well, no, he's an evangelist. Well, he may have had some giftings, but he's a deacon. And a deacon's a good position in a church, don't get me wrong. But everybody should be able to go and minister to people. It has to do with confidence and faith in God. But I'm here to tell you today, and if you don't ever get anything out of these teachings that I'm blessed to be able to give on this BPN radio, understand one thing. You're called, you're anointed, and you're appointed for a purpose. And that purpose is to demonstrate Jesus to this world. To demonstrate Jesus with infallible proofs. But you're not going to get there by preaching a sermon about why there's only 12 apostles and not 13. You're not going to get the world's attention by just trying to read a bunch of Greek words that have no power behind the ministering and preaching of it. But you got to preach Jesus. And I'm all for Greek studies. I'm all for it because that's part of our preparation to minister Christ, to minister the anointed one and his anointing to a world that desperately needs to see Jesus. And so, Father, we thank you for the revival and the resurgence of revival in this United States of America. And Father, we know that you desire to do a great work in the body of Christ. And so, Father, we pray the fires of revival down upon the churches of the United States and the churches of other countries around the world. Because, Father, we know that once your body gets on fire, Father, they'll begin to release that into the earth. We thank you, Father, for manifesting yourself through miracles, signs, and wonders. We thank you for a heavy presence of Jesus to go in each and every believer wherever they go. And Father, we thank you that you've given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Lord, thank you because you're an awesome God. Lord, we magnify you and give you praise for everything you do. And now, confess this with me. Say, Father, I'm out of nobody. I'm a somebody. I'm a child of God. I'm anointed of God. And that I can manifest Jesus' presence wherever I go. I can pray for the sick and expect the same results that Jesus got. And that I'm not moved by what I see or what my senses tell me. But I'm only moved by what I believe. And so, Father, I thank you that I'm your child. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Well, praise God. This is the end of our time. It goes so quickly. I'd love to hear from you. Would you please write to me at Church of the...
It's Rick Gentry. You've been listening to Pastor Richard Idarosa today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, please contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. We sure appreciate all your support. Thank you very much.